We just had the readings yesterday for Sunday. They're the same readings, so I won't repeat them today. I'd make a couple comments, however, that first of all, today we commemorate Saint Saturninus, I think is it Saturninus the martyr. He was a bishop of Toulouse in France very early on, died in the mid-third century, put to death because he was put to death by being dragged around the town, tied to a rope, tied to a bull. And so they dragged him around until he died. He refused to worship pagan idols. Pagan idols are having a bit of a comeback right now, I'm afraid. So let's ask Saturninus to intercede for all those who have made the terrible mistake, scandalous mistake, of publicly venerating pagan idols, which of course are demons. A comment about the gospel today. This is taken from the Mount Olivet Discourse, and there are confusing things in it, in the Mount Olivet Discourse. He says in your generation, this generation will not pass away till all is taken place. Well, it did pass away though, didn't it? Not the end of the world that is being described here in this short passage from the 21st chapter of Luke does not refer to exactly the part that we've heard. The Mount Olivet Discourse is a little longer. The first part, using very prophetic, remember that our Lord is a prophet also, so he uses a prophetic way of talking sometimes, which can be a little enigmatic, and it can involve all sorts of images that other prophets have used concerning the end of the world. But the very first part of the discourse had to do mainly with the upcoming destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in 70 AD. Remember, he says, when you see the signs indicating that the time is coming, don't bother going down into your place to get a cloak. Put everything down, flee to the hills. Pray that your flight be not in winter or on the Sabbath. And this is going to happen before this generation passes away. Well, generation is 40 years. He's talking in about 30 BC. So this is exactly what he's talking about in 30 AD. So in 70 AD, the Romans are going to come and destroy the temple. And that indeed was the end of the world for them, because the temple itself was a microcosm of the entire cosmos. There, the courtyards were decorated with land scenes. There was a large basin, a bronze basin, with water that they called the ocean. And then there was a great curtain decorated with stars and constellations and planets and so forth. And it was like the heavens before you would go into the Holy of Holies, where the ark had been, where the presence of God had rested. So it was the center of the world. It was the center of the universe for them. It was the cosmos, a microcosm of the cosmos. And so when the Romans came and destroyed it, they destroyed the entire world for them. And their sacrifice ended and so forth. There was never sacrifice, the Old Testament sacrifice after that. So that's in the part that we don't hear in this chapter, in this little cutting, this pericope from the 21st chapter. But focus of the Holy Church gives us on the first Sunday of Advent, which we repeat today, this reading, which we also heard at the end of last liturgical year. We have to remember that Advent used to be a little longer than it is now. And therefore, the mass formularies we have for the end of a liturgical year and the beginning of a new one dovetail together very well. The end of the world is what we are preparing for in Advent, even more than the first coming of the Lord. We're preparing for the second coming of the Lord. And so let us take a stock today with Saturninus, the martyr, to inspire us of perhaps have we made of any created thing an idol? An idol, something that we have put on the throne of our hearts, on the throne of our minds and hearts, in the place where only Christ should be. Is there some created thing, some created good, some material thing that we are overly attached to, or that we are using in the wrong way, either in an unproportionate way, using it at the wrong time, or for the wrong reason, or by the wrong means, and so forth? I think it's a good idea to take stock of these things, and let us beware of creating idols for ourselves that can separate us from the Lord. Also, I've included prayers today. I may have on the little sidebar of the frame, the black frame there, praying against enemies of the church. And usually I add that prayer because there are enemies within the church, not just outside the church. Today I'm praying in a special way, adding a prayer for the sick who are close to death. In the votive mass for the sick, pro infirmis, there are a series of collects available, one of them for a sick person, and then for a sick person who is close to death, and then for sick persons, and then sick persons close to death. And I'm using that fourth one in the votive mass for the sick, because yesterday in our ham radio network in the evening, ZDNet, one of the participants said that his mother is very close to death, and he was he had a marvelous attitude about this. He said that she had made her first confession in about 40 years, and that the family had come and was coming, and she seemed to be well disposed, and he seemed to be at peace about it. And was even describing his week as having been a good week. So this is the kind of Catholic attitude that we like to hear. Death comes for us all, and death comes for all of our loved ones. Remember that our loved ones are created things, and our loved ones are creatures. And we are called to love God more than any creature. So we have to love God more than our parents, more than our spouse, more than our children, more than anything else or anybody else in our life, because only by loving God more can we love the people in our lives in the proper way. So let us pray for those who are sick and who are close to death, that God, and especially Saint Joseph, who is patron of the dying, will be there to protect them in their final time, so that the angels, holy angels, as the prayer says, which I said today, so that the holy angels will bring them before God. Exactly.